For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, get there and welcome to Nijin Footy. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island Koi Tinidau Arona.
Kia ora na.
And where are you off to after this? Because you've got your button-up shirt on.
Yeah,
you've got your,
what's wrong with
your
that?
Good shirt on. Well, oh, you're dressed up for an occasion.
Look at you, mate. You're in your
coaching kit.
What is that? Coaching kit.
Yeah, I've got a game after this to go coach.
Oh, we finish the your intro.
No, that's it. Oh, we've got a big show in the rugby league and rugby union world.
And
Glenn,
this is where you get the number one Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union world.
You threw me off with your shirt, see. I just didn't expect, you know, to be buttoned up, looking sharp.
Nah, I've got some business to cover today.
Yeah, we have some business to cover here on this
straight
show.
After the show.
Okay.
But before we get to the show, now, there's been some, I'm a very happy man. Do you know why, Sammy? I'm a very, very
happy
man.
Is your wife happy? Is your wife happy? Is that why you're happy?
I've heard from some great sources that, now, I represented Wakefield Trinity for 7 years over in the UK.
So I know where this is
that
going.
That place holds a close position in my heart, Wakefield Trinity in the UK. And it's been, hasn't been announced, but it's been rumoured, reported, that the great Samoan Roger Tuivasa, Sheck, will be signing for the Wakefield Trinity. Now, it's only
Shaky
reported.
Shaky Wakey has got the biggest signing in history.
In history. But yes, we do have a big show to cover. Nijin Footy Fridays.
Can we get him on, though? Can we get him on to so you guys can discuss that at some point?
We're
in the future?
Catching up on Easter Friday, and that's my time to go, hey, bro.
Jump
congratulations
on
for signing. All if right. if you have signed.
Okay.
Here's can you come in and announce it on
All
our
right.
show?
Sweet. We'll get to what's coming. We'll get to that, but what have we got on today's show?
Well, round four NRL. Last night, we've seen the Manly Sea Eagles take on the Sydney Roosters. It was the return of DC Daly Cherry Evans in other colours. So we'll cover that game. We'll also cover more NRL with Salatonga Tuki, who will be joining us. And then round seven, Super Rugby. We've got the Drua playing the Blues in Auckland,
in
which
Auckland.
We'll cover with the great man Nemani Kudundjani live from Fiji. And then we will be covering the
Moana Pacifica will take on your men.
The Landers.
The Highlanders down Highlanders. In the south. So, yeah, big show planned. Plenty to get through. So let's get into it.
Uluvanaka, Smark, Hermano, Dukatoko, Nawanganituase from the Sydney Roosters. And you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Yes, said Mark. Good game last night, boy.
Yes, two-time try scorer. How good. Yeah. Let's get straight to that game, Sammy. Roosters versus the Seagulls in Manly. Wet conditions. Power went out before the game.
Massive storm came through before the game.
A Thursday night and the return, like I mentioned, the return of Daly Cherry Evans. Imagine playing, you know, being the most capped player for one club. And then you come back the next year and you're representing a different club and a rival club.
He knows that stadium in Manly like the back of his hand. You know, so used to probably walking in and turning left or right, wherever the home change rooms are. This time you're going the opposite way. It just would have been such a, I don't know, bizarre feeling for DCE.
He did get some booze. Yeah, there was
some booze.
Every time he touched the ball. There was some talks around, you know, what kind of reception he will get. But, you know, there was some mixture of booing, chanting, more booing. But he got the last laugh with the Roosters winning 33-16. Now, off the kickoff, look, the Manly Sea Eagles, they did pull the Roosters' pants down with a nice play to their right edge, and it was on play two off the kickoff, and then you've seen Jason Saab just sprint down the sideline, pass it back to Tom Trbojevic, who scored in the opening minutes of the game. But I think they go, like Manly Seagulls would have went back to the Panthers game. When Panthers took on Roosters last weekend, off the kickoff, play two, they done that shift play. Paul Alamotti gets the ball in space, and then they go down and score off the kickoff. So, yeah, great work from Manly Seagulls, but then from there, it was pretty much all the Roosters where the next 20 minutes, they were just playing down the Manly Seagulls end. And with all that possession, the amount of tackling that the Seagulls had to do, Mark Nawanganitawase scores a double. Rob Toya gets a double. Daniel Tupou gets a try off a penalty try. When you look at the numbers, you can see why the Roosters ended up coming with a strong finish in the second half. But some good news for the Seagulls. They had a huge player come off the bench.
He is massive.
19 years old. Tongan?
He's Tongan, bro. He's like another Haumole. Like he went to Bass High. And I think we spoke about him last year. We were hosting this seniors Tongan rugby union training just down the road from our house in Western Sydney. And this guy rocks up in great shape. Like, and he starts running these lines. And I'm looking over to one of the coaches. I'm going, bro, who's this guy? Can we get him? Walked over to him. I was like, hey, do you want to play in the Senior Men's Pacifica Cup? And he goes, oh, nah, sorry. I've just come down to get some training done because I'm with Manly. Oh, like SG Ball or something. He goes, oh, no, sorry, not SG Ball, the older men.
Jersey Flag or New South Wales Cup.
He goes, oh, no, SG Ball. I was like, bro, how old are you? He goes, oh, I've just turned 18. I was like, no way. Yep. Like, he's a
and then 1 year
massive
later,
human.
He makes his debut. His name is Simeone Laiafi. And you could just see the energy when he did come onto the field as well, you know, getting his body in front. He is a big boy, took some tough carries, but unfortunately the team was just on the back foot because there was just too much errors.
One thing I did see though, and he'll probably look at this in the video and he probably would have been full of energy. You know, that's pretty taxing when you come on all excited. Nafahu White had this carry. Did you see that carry? And
oh, when he just broke tackles?
Yeah, he did that the whole game.
He done a few of them.
But Simeone was on him, sort of body in front, but just he kept
driving his legs,
and then he fell off.
Yeah.
Fell off. It's just those little things, you know. Welcome to first grade. Normally, in the age group stuff, yeah, he's making that tackle easy because his sheer size would get them to ground. But now when you have big, powerful men, that would be a good learning curve for him.
Yeah, wet conditions as well. But I thought Nafahu White, the way that he leads that forward pack in the middle for the Roosters, he was just, every carry was with intent. And he was leaving players on the floor. He was breaking tackles. He was, you know, making meters off on the back of contact, so post-contact meters. But I thought because Roosters were successful, it was on the back of Nafahu White in that middle. So great work to the Roosters.
Yeah, so they're back in the winner's circle. Yeah. So a bit of breathing room there for the players.
But again, we've got some huge games this weekend. Which ones stand out to you, Sammy?
See, I'm really looking forward to the Battle of Brisbane. The Dolphins are taking on the Brisbane Broncos. No pain Haas for the Broncos. A bit happening in the coaching circles with the Broncos. So there's always, man, you know what? You know they say winning solves everything? It doesn't seem that way for the Broncos.
Nah.
It just seems to be that they're winning, losing. There's something going on where people don't like the Broncos.
Do you think Penrith Panthers winning four in a row has lifted the expectation from other clubs?
Yeah, one premiership's not good enough.
One's not enough.
You have to go back to back.
And it's not even, you know, the people within the club. It's externally, people think, well, go get another one.
What are you waiting for? It's easy. So, oh man, I feel sorry for a head coach.
Before we get to the game, we might as well talk about, you know, Ben Teo and what's happened with Ben Teo at the Brisbane Broncos. So it's been reported that Ben Teo has put in his resignation and, you know, he'll no longer be the assistant coach for the Brisbane Broncos. There were rumours around a disagreement after last week's game when they took on the Storm, when they beat the Storm, keep in mind.
Yep.
With him and the head coach, Madge. Also, there was other rumours where he was upset because the Broncos turned down his opportunity to be Billy Slater's assistant coach for the Queensland Maroons in State of Origin. And then there's, you know, this could be something that had been brewing for, you know, a long time with the head coach. Now,
there has to be something brewing. You cannot tell me that you're walking away from a, especially a defensive coach, you're walking away from defending your premiership round four off the back of one argument. Yeah. Like they've come to this destination. They would have probably been having some honest conversations with each other, disagreements. And to be honest, it's normal. Like, honestly, how many times I've seen head coaches, players, assistant coaches disagreeing on how the game should be played, how we should be preparing, and even down to can the boys have a day off on a Wednesday or a Thursday? Like, those arguments get heated over everything. But it is going to disrupt their preparation. I think that's why I like this game, in a sense, for Broncos. How do you respond when your preparation has been affected throughout the week through headlines? So how do you bounce back from that? But it is disappointing to see Ben, from, you know, what people say, Ben Teo is a very smart coach. Rugby union guy as well.
Yeah, you know, I've heard. He's also been coached by Madge. Keep in mind, they've got that relationship. So
they've won a premiership as a player coach, and now they've won a premiership as coaching coach.
So the players, you know, they speak very highly of Ben Teo, so it's not player-driven. But also, I've met both Madge and Ben Teo, and both of them have that personality of, you know, strong opinions.
The alpha male across, in the room?
Yeah, I just come across like they're very strong in their views and strong in their opinions. So obviously, some personalities just don't connect, and maybe that could be a matter of having different views and different opinions, and one not being able to, or just has that, what's the word? One just not being happy at the club because of that reason. So the head coach obviously is in charge.
Yeah, he's in charge. And you do have to know your role too. You do have to stay in your lane. At the end of the day, you can disagree. But usually all those disagreements should happen behind closed doors. And when you come out of those meeting rooms, you have to be aligned. And if there's no alignment there, it does filter into the team.
Oh, well, let's get straight into the actual team and the game this weekend. We've probably got a little bit carried away there.
Yeah, we did.
The Brisbane Broncos taking on the Dolphins this evening at Brisbane. And it is the Battle of Brisbane. They have played six times. Guess how many the Dolphins have won?
Three.
One.
One. Oh.
One.
Why did I think three?
Yeah.
Have they been close? I don't know,
but I just know they've won one out of six. And I think we're lined up for a great game.
Both two out of six this week.
Both coming out of it would be two out of seven. Mate.
Seven, sorry. My math is terrible.
Both coming off wins from last round three. I am looking at Dolphins being my smoky, if that's allowed by you, mate.
That is 100% allowed.
Is it?
Yeah, that's allowed.
Okay.
Well, you're talking about a 1-6. You know, it's heated. You gave me the Broncos against Melbourne, so that's a big rivalry, so I thought it's only fair, but we'll get to that when we get to the back end of the show.
What about this matchup? So Payne-Huss is out, Xavier Willison starts at prop, and on the other opposite 10, opposite number for the Dolphins, the old bull, Felice Kaufusi.
The doula.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that one. You've also got Brendan Piakuta starting in back row. And for the Dolphins, you've got Kulikefu Finefeuiaki and Kuneli Lemuelu. In the outside backs, and I think those two, you know, Reece Walsh and Hamiso Tabuai-Fido at fullback, they're going to have a battle. They'll battle it out. I think it'll be very similar to last week where Sua Fa'alongo versus Reece Walsh. But instead of Sua, we've got Hamiso Tabuai-Fido. And is that your phone?
No, that's your notifications going off, mate. Put it on silent. We're here to work, not do all your other work that you've got to do.
But I think, look, on the back of last week, Herbie Farnworth was my player to watch for the Dolphins when he just shredded the Cronulla Sharks. So I think him and Kotoni Staggs are going to have a good matchup.
That's a good battle
there in
That's
the center.
A really
so
good battle, that one.
I'll go the Dolphins for my Smokey, and we'll catch up with Sala Tongatuki very shortly to cover the Battle of the West. But before we get to Sala, let's cover Round 7, Super Rugby.
Hi, it's Tabua Tunakabandra, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
before we get to round seven, probably even bigger news, Tana Umanga, named as Dave Rennie's assistant coach for the All Blacks. Tana, he made history 20 years ago. Why?
20 years ago, he was the first Samoan to represent the Captain All Blacks.
Captain the All Blacks. Oh, there he ding, 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 ding. Is there a sound effect? Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, so first Samoan to captain.
Oh, first All Black captain with Pacific Island heritage.
Okay, even better.
So, yeah, so not just first Samoan, first Pacific Island ever. And now he, I believe this is a first ever too, to, you know, the coaching combination with both head coach and assistant coach having Pacific Island heritage with
like
Dave Rennie.
Cook Island. Yeah, like I said, we've got a Cook Islander head coach. We've got now a Samoan assistant coach. Just need a...
Where's my Tongans
Tongan
at? Where's my Fijians
technical
at?
Coach. Sammy, put your hand up.
Tautaikefu, where is he? Where is he? But
well, they're all of the Australian Tongans.
Yeah, true.
Tautai,
true.
Yourself.
Do you know who they need to get? They need to get George Smith in there just as a technical advisor around the break.
Another Australian.
That's okay.
Tongan Australian.
That's all right. That's a Wallabies fault for not putting them in their coaching system.
Doesn't sit right with you? Oh,
nah.
Well, if Tana Umanga came in to coach the Wallabies...
Welcome him right in.
But that just wouldn't feel right, being an all-black legend.
Well, it doesn't feel right for a lot of Manly fans that DCE's at the Roosters, but it happens.
That's just over the bridge, not over the big ocean.
But that rivalry is just as big.
Is
it? Nah, anyway, we'll move on. But when you think about it, though, like, is this a statement from the All Blacks? Because, man, they could get anyone, right? They could get anyone as their coach and as their assistant coach. But from when you think about culturally and the makeup of New Zealand, is this a big statement where they are heading in terms of what their identity needs to be for that All Blacks jersey?
Yeah, I think when you look at, well, my views are with the appointment of both Dave Rennie and Tana Umanga, it's also connected to maybe the playing group that they have there at this time. And we've seen the rise of the number of Māori and Pacifica players in both NRL and Rugby Union, Super Rugby. And with the All Black makeup, you know, there are, you know, probably a lot more Pacific Islanders in this squad than there were 20 years ago.
Yep.
And everything about, you know, our people, it's about connection, it's about, you know, playing for your family. Faith is another big thing. So the coaching staff understanding their players could be a big part in the reasons why, you know, these two great men have been appointed. So not saying that, you know, that it's a all Pacific team.
No, because that's my next point, because the players are usually an extension of the coaching group. So they've got that piece. But then you look at their other assistant coach, Neil Barnes, straight up country fella. Like, he doesn't care where you're from, what you've done, how many caps you've got. He just calls a spade, and he's so direct. Like, even in his interviews, like, he's just a crack up. Like, you just know what's his expectation.
He's black and white.
Yeah,
there's no
gray.
There's no gray.
there's no gray area.
You know, oh, let's treat this bloke differently because he, you know, doesn't take the straight to the point answer well.
If it's not good enough, it's not good enough.
Just tell you how it is. Yeah. So having the right mixture in that coaching staff is key as well.
I feel like there's a really good balance there, and that's what probably scares me the most as a Wallaby fan, is that coaching balance, the personalities in there, is just going to trickle into the players, and I think it's going to be dangerous.
Well, I actually really hope for All Blacks now that it translates to success on the field, because now with, you know, with these appointments come a lot of expectation, and obviously this game is built on results. And even the reaction from the Moana players when Tana announced it to their team, you'll see that on their socials,
yeah.
They were just cheering for a good minute. They'd clap, cheer, and it just continued on.
Yep.
You could just see the pride that they had in their coach, but also the acknowledgement and, you know, them honouring their coach just with their reaction.
Well, let's stay with Moana Pacifica because it is Super Rugby Round 7 and they take on the Highlanders. Moana, they are sitting last on the table and the Highlanders are sitting 8th. And for Tana and his playing group, I hopefully the good news continues where they get a win and try and, you know, change the mood in that changing room after the game. Yeah, when I think about these two teams, stat-wise, it's very similar in attack. 19 tries for Moana, 16 tries for the Highlanders. Clean line breaks, Moana 36, Highlanders 32. And this is a stat, I don't know how this happens, but this is a stat I find very interesting, T. When you think about defenders beaten, the Highlanders are second and Moana are third. But they've scored the least amount of tries and the least amount of points in the competition. But I guess you put that down to a couple of individuals from Moana Pacifica. Number 8, Semisi Tupoutailoa from Moana. Mate, he is having a field day at number 8 there. Swatting flies out there, palming off everyone, bumping off everyone. And Highlanders winger, Caleb Tangitao. Like, he is a freak of a player. We highlighted him after round 1. Like, him with ball in hand, it's just like watching Tolu Kola play.
Yeah, so that stat means those individuals are breaking tackles,
yes,
but it doesn't translate to, you know, points on the board for their team.
You know, they know they've got players that can be world-class and break the game open with their ability, but systematically, it's what's letting them down. We talk about defense wins games. This is the big one. Moana leaking nearly 44 points per game. Like, this is a huge stat. They're not winning the collisions enough throughout the game to slow any type of ruck down from the opposition. And they can do it in patches, but they're just not doing it consistently enough in certain parts of the game. So, like, 15 minutes after halftime or 15 minutes before halftime.
Here we go. I'll break it down into eights. It's about
sevens
to come.
No, I need to break
Sammy's
it into five.
Favorite line. But if they just broke it down into quarters,
they're not listening
in each
to
half,
me. They're not listening.
No one's listening to you.
No,
mate.
One's listening. Not my kids, not my wife. No one. No one. Not even you.
Hey, I'm listening because I could hear you.
Well, when we're talking rugby, you're hearing me, but you're not listening.
There
is a big difference. But they've just got to, honestly, they just have to fix their attitude. Their attitude in defense to want to stop tries, want to get a defensive line, want to get line speed, so they can just bring those points down in defense. And it actually got me thinking, T, in teams that you've played in, what are some of the weird and wonderful ways that your defensive coach has done throughout the week in preparation to change your attitude or do in defense through training drills? Because I've got one for you that I reckon that you would like.
Okay, so paint the scenario. Your team's not defending well.
No, you're giving up you're 45 points nearly every game.
The assistant coach is under the pump.
Yes.
The head coach is going to the assistant coach.
Why are we leaking so many points?
This is your job. This is your responsibility.
Yes, you know,
fix the
defense
right now. And now all of a sudden the assistant coach
I've
comes.
I've got to come up with something.
I need to figure something out. So the craziest thing that we had done or that I'd done in my career was, thinking about it, there was one drill. Now, this was more about comms. I don't know if it was related to the defense, but it was more about comms. And we're in England at Wakefield in the little dojo that we had there because it was too cold to train outside. And we would be standing in the line, looking up. And then as all of a sudden the coach comes in with all these different objects. Now, we had cones, we had balls, we had bats, we had
bats.
We made just all these different objects, toys, and then all this, he said, okay, I want four defenders, go to that line, you're there to stand up, stay on your toes, keep your hands up, but whatever you can see, you have to shout it. And then if you weren't a player, you'd be on the other side throwing objects in the air. So we're like, red ball, yellow cone, bat coming from the left. And you're
really,
and you're just visuals, screaming out the visuals that you could see. You know what the stupid thing was? Some boys would be going down, like one boy pulled his pants out. He's in his undies and he just starts twerking. And I'll be like,
you have to shout that out.
I'll be like, he's my mate. I'll be like, Jordan Crowther, he's twerking with his undies on the right there. And then we walked out of the room going, what the hell did we just do?
Did it transfer to a win? After that?
No.
No. No. There we go.
We did get something like a laugh out of it.
Yeah, well, you're trying to change the mood. Okay, so I'm not sure where that defensive coach is now, but hopefully he still has a job after that one.
No, he didn't after that.
Didn't after that one.
Neither did that. No, I won't go there.
No, I won't go there. you know, one of the ones that we did?
Crash and bash.
We had to play rugby league. At training.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we played rugby league at training.
And I bet you won for the rest of the year.
We actually did win that game. But do you know the funny thing was we had, I don't know if you played with this guy. His name's Semi Wara. He's like a Fijian fella. He was at the Tigers for a bit.
I thought you said Wanga.
No, Wara. He was at the Tigers on the fringes there. But we had him at the Western Force. He was our league player. And no one knew how to get to marker. No one knew, and everyone forgot to. So everyone would make the tackle. So like the collision was pretty big, but one we were slow to get back 10 meters, and the other one we forgot that we needed a marker. So he would just go into dummy half and scoot, and like he was just beat everyone and scoring tries. And we're like, we're just getting angry at it. But man, there was no, you weren't allowed to have too much footwork. Yeah, that's the fella, Semi Wara. Yes, yeah. He just Googled him now. That's him. Shout out to Semi. But we weren't, your front rowers and your back rowers, they weren't allowed to do any footwork. So the rules were you had to run it straight just to go, you need to feel the contact. So there was no running sideways or anything like that. So we had to take tough carries. And it actually worked for us that week. So
it's my favorite drill. We call it the slab drill. So you just, make it a very short sideline to sideline, so you can't run around the defenders, and you've got a number of tackles to get to the other end, and then you just try and just force your way to the other end.
Well, we deviated from the Super Rugby chat, but hopefully Moana, they will be doing some rugby league drills to get that attitude check, and hopefully it works for them against the Highlanders, and they can get a win and bash that bin. But that's all for rugby union.
Has there been any bin bashing lately?
Nah, only round one in Fiji. That's it.
Mm.
I think the Blues bash their bin a few times. I think all the Kiwi teams.
That's more of a...
Yeah. I think all the Kiwi teams have stolen bashing the bin. But anyway, that's all for Rugby Union until we catch up with Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani. But first, let's get to Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, it is time to hear from our NRLW superstar, Tigers representative. She's also represented New South Wales, the Jillaroos, Fitu Samoa, and she is an icon for female athletes. Sala Tongatuki, welcome to your show, Nesian Footy Fridays. How are you, Sala?
Oh, good morning. Yep, I'm very good. Thanks, bro. Right.
Yeah, I'm good. I just wanted to double check. Did you see my socials this week where I was squatting 190
straight out the gate like that?
190 kgs.
Yeah. I saw it. Lucky Kat and that. Shout out to Kat. Hey, capture that because your camera person was a fail. they were blocking the view. I was like, I can't see if the bro's actually squatted 190.
Yeah, I thought he got a bit. I thought from that footage he was a bit short in his depth. Would you count that one, Sulla?
No. When you see the real footage from the side, hold on.
I'm just asking Sulla. I didn't ask you. I'm asking Sulla.
Well, the reason
why she is the one that can squat the house down.
Yeah, well, that's you. I wanted to get to my point.
You could have went 200 T.
Yeah, I could have, but I wanted to save my
back. Gone deeper. That's the truth. I could do a 3/4 squat as well.
That wasn't 3/4. That was not 3/4. It was past the 90-degree mark in my knees, and I lifted it with ease. But the reason why I brought it up, because I am inspired by your training, Sulla, and that's why I decided I'm going to give it a good crack. And I wanted to mention to our audience that I left the 190 kgs.
But you did, bros. Everyone, that's a round of applause.
All right.
How's your training
move
been?
Move on. Let's talk about you now, sir.
Yeah, we know that you're you are preparing for the State of Origin Women's series this year. How has training been since we last spoke last Friday?
Yeah, it's been intense. I think Tuesday was like a 7K load. Last night, obviously with the thunderstorms and lightning, we had 30 minutes deducted, from the session, but we still got quality footy, done there. But yeah, it's been good. The program, we've all walked into this, block of preseason, like quite, primed, a lot more conditioned than what we did last year. So there's a we've been able to escalate our progress a bit quicker than we wanted to. Like we said, we don't have much time before the team's picked and go on to play the series. So, yeah, no, it's been good fun. I feel a lot stronger, heaps fitter. I've put on weight, but I've been encouraged to, given the position I play, you want to be hard to handle with that extra bit of weight. So I'm learning to carry that weight with the fitness and be able to just get through all the sessions, which has been good for me successfully, thankfully. But, yeah, it's been good.
Hey, just a question. Have you girls been preparing for the rule change and the infringements, the six agains, and the impact that that has had with the men's game? Have you girls been training for that kind of
like scenarios?
Yeah. To expect that them rule changes make an impact, a difference.
That's a good question. Like it's good. Like with Strangey, that's his style of training. He loves scenarios. He loves the what ifs kind of moments. He always made sure to prepare us just from experience when I was under him as a Roosters. And just last year when he came in, he introduced a lot of that. Like if you got 5 minutes to go, what are your options? Do you go to who are your kickers and whatnot? Like where do you want to be situated in that moment to be able to execute? It's been good. Like Thursday's last night was a perfect example. We do a lot of oppose like in our con games, and that's just we get the six again, all that kind of the new rules and implemented. It's hard. It's tough in the lungs. You start seeing your team start like going against each other because we're still new to the rule because we're like, oh no, like we just don't know it really well. But hopefully, in the next 2 weeks, that we've got that under our belts on the new rules and that. So it's been good.
So when I think about your point just before, where they've asked you to put on weights to handle the contact and probably get through the contact, how did that sit with you when you think about the rule changes, the game being faster, but then you've got to go, oh, you want me to put on some kilos to dominate that? Like, how did that sit with you, wrestling with that preparation?
Well, it just means less minutes on the field, but at more impact, is it?
Yeah, it can go either way. Like, this whole, weight thing, it was never to do with Origin. It was more to do with Tigers, with our new coach. And because we've got a new head of performance, he's big on stats and how, we move and stuff like that. So they never told me. It's just I got on the scales and I was weighing, obviously, a bit lighter. And then, I just got asked, what are your usual playing weight? And I just gave them a number and they were like, well, maybe they didn't say anything. I just thought to myself, maybe I want to try it this way. I want to try moving with the weight because I do find myself hard to handle with the extra weight. I'm not trying to speak for myself, but I'm just trialing it. Sweet. And best way to do it, trial is in this preseason block with Origin, and it's been good for me. I often get told our blocks are 60% in defense. But me, I'm trying my hardest to go 60%, but it comes across to everyone it's 100%, but it's not. So I don't know. I train the way I train is I want to train the way I want to play on a weekend. But you are early in the preseason. We don't want players getting hurt. We do need those numbers to be able to continue sessions onwards. But that's just me. I like the extra weight on me because last couple of years I've been playing under 80. Right now I'm over the 80 and I've been loving it. And I think that's where a lot of middles and that need to find what works for them. And it's been going well for me. It's just the fitness. It hurt it at the start, but I feel great mentally knowing that, man, I got through that. I can't wait to see how I go the following sessions.
I like that it's actually come from you, from that, because some people get so fixated on other people's opinion around 1 or 2 kilos here and there, and they go, oh, this is the reason why. But when it comes from you, and if you feel that it's going to help,
then it's going to help.
Yeah.
Feel good, play good.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the 100%, one.
100%.
Yes.
And the controllables are just what you're putting in your body as well.
Yeah.
So just because you're overweight doesn't mean it's all bad. It's sometimes it's muscle mass, for sure.
Yeah.
I hope so. But you just don't have those skin folds in that. Like you obviously those weighing machines. I think like Tino's, the Yard Gym's got one. They cost like 30K or something to be able to get like your body fat percentage and all that. So when I did mine with the Yard Gym, and my body, there's a score like out of 100 where your body weight, everything that it scans, you should be, it will tell you if you got the right amount of muscle mass or something like for your height, your age and whatever. And mine was sitting at 92 out of 100. So I liked that I was over the 80, because when I was under 80 and I scanned, I was like around 70 something out of 100.
Yeah.
So I knew I was underweight, like there was heaps. Like, yeah, it's just all science stuff. I'm not scientifically smart, but like I said, trial and error.
Back yourself. Back yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Big season prepping for, and also the Origin, so looking very a month forward away, to it.
30th of April.
Only 1 month away. First game in Newcastle. But me and Sammy, we covered the Battle of Brisbane. Now, Battle of Western Sydney, the Battle of the West, Penrith versus Parramatta.
Uh-huh.
It is Penrith's home game. It is played at the Parramatta Stadium. Now, how much do you have Panthers to win by?
I'm leaning Panthers comfortably.
Question anymore. Oh, who do you think's going to win? It's just like straight, okay, Penrith, we know that, but by how much?
Yeah, no, but to be fair, boys, like Penrith just look way more settled. Their spine with Nathan Cleary, Dylan Edwards and Blaise Halangi, like they have structure. Like they don't beat themselves. Whereas Parra, on the other hand, I get they've got new combos, especially in the halves with Mitchell Moses and Jonah Pezzett. They're still building. Like, for me, the biggest difference is control. And Panthers are known for high completions. They defend their edge as well, and they just grind teams down. Like, that's, we see that, yeah. That's facts.
Who's the player to look out for in this game?
For Penrith, mine's probably Nathan Cleary. Everything goes through him. His kicking game alone, that can win the match. But if, yeah, he'll pin Parra in the corners, force repeat sets and just build pressure. But then also, like, keeping an eye on Brian Tuttle, like him coming out of yardage, he'll start set strong and give Cleary, like, that good field position to play off. And then in Parra, I'm looking forward to Isaiah Yonge, that young fullback, big opportunity against a team like Penrith. Like, fullbacks, they get tested early, like, heavy high kick pressures, defensive reads, positioning. Like if he has a big game, like safe under the high ball, good carries, and the weather's obviously it looks like it's going to rain, like Parra stay in it longer.
Who wins, Moses Leota or Junior Paulo?
Oh, I'm going to go, sorry, Junior, I love the bro, but Moses.
I love you, bro, something but Moses, I love Penrith more.
There's something about Moses. Like, he's got an engine. He goes 100 miles. Like, I love his style. Like, he goes hard. Like, you can feel his impact. When he starts, he's come off. Like, you see it. Like, that's it. He's got good control. And, yeah, he's worked on that wrestle. Whereas, like, Junior, he's got a different style. He's a quick play the ball. I'd get him, like, you know, get me a quick play the ball kind of hit up middle and the offloads and stuff like that. So he's a good second phase player for a team. But me, I'm going to go with Moses.
When you think of your game, who would you compare your game to a front rower in the NRL?
There's two players I've always looked up to. It's Moses Leota and Adam Fenua-Blake. I love Adam's footwork at the line. I love the intensity that Moses always goes 100%. Like, that's probably my two players I look up to. And I try and
that's a deadly combination. That's a deadly combination right there, those two.
They're so cool.
What about like past players?
They're just underrated.
What about past players? Who would be like the player?
Someone that's played for like Roosters, Sharks, and Wakefield. He grew up in the area.
I want to go with Andrew Fifita.
Yes.
Like, that big bopper. Holy heck, off the back fence. Like, I actually,
See, he wasn't looking for that answer. He was not looking for that answer.
I did play a few games with Andrew. That was nice. anyway.
I'm more of a David fan anyway.
Yeah. Hey, but just lastly, before we let you go, it's been announced that Tana Umanga, it's big news for our community and also for Samoa that Tana being announced as the assistant coach of the All Blacks. What are your thoughts on this appointment?
No, it's special. It's an iconic appointment Like for us, like ourselves, like Pacific, anything can be possible. And the fact that he's a legend itself for the All Blacks, there's no better person to return and give back to the jersey. So, yeah, I think it's a proud moment. We don't often see our people up in those kind of positions. And yeah, I know he'll do well. Like he did it with the Moana Pacifica. Yeah, we've seen what he's done there. And so yeah, just big congrats to him.
He got back to me. I messaged him actually, Tana.
You beat me to
really?
It.
Oh, sorry. Is that what you're
so
going to say?
All morning, so yeah, he's been telling everyone, "Boy, I congratulated Tana," and he responded to me.
So, appreciate the message. Also, praying hands and a fist pump and a love heart.
Yeah. So don't worry about my 190 squat. Just worry about his response.
Tana, me and my boy Tana. Oh, all good. Just name dropping. Today's episode's been about name dropping.
Well, you know that heavyweight boxer Ted Mwana. He responded to my inbox. Where I was like, "Hey, bro, congratulations on your win." And he goes, "Thanks, cuz." Yeah.
And what? Actually?
Oh, he said thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. He left the cuz bit out there. But
no, he said bro.
Oh, bro. Just GST on every story. But,
GST, oh, yeah. You're doing amazing.
Man, our listeners probably go, "These two are eggs, man.
We're idiots." Let's leave it on that.
Sorry, Tana. Please excuse my friends.
Sala, we'll leave you to it. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next week Nesian Footy Fridays. Keep training hard, and if you need inspiration, just follow my socials.
You've got my number.
I definitely follow you already. So congrats, bro. 190s. That's awesome.
All right, then.
Oh, good.
Right. Much love, Sala. Take care.
Have a good weekend. Bye. Much love.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Volan Ems, great to have you back on, brother. How are you?
Volan, our boys, all is well. Thanks again for having me on. And it's actually a good day here. It's not raining, which is good.
I believe you have a game on, the academy game, the development game, another one on today. So you fit us in.
Yeah. So I've made the game work around us. So yes, we've got a game today at 10 a.m. Couldn't miss this. Me, I wouldn't miss this for the world. But another chance for our development lads, but also another opportunity for our senior guys to get a run, get some minutes in the legs, and I think it's worked really well. And so we've got an early one this morning at 10, and then obviously the weekend away and get ready for the big team, the senior boys.
Well, let's get straight into the game against the Blues. I believe they're playing for the Joelle Vindiri Memorial Trophy. Were you a big fan of Vindiri growing up?
Oh, of course you were, right? Yeah. As every Fijian kid. I mean, he was our Jonah Lomu, back then. And look, I think it's such a great initiative from both teams to have to play for something, in the honour of a legend like Joelle Vindiri, who hails from here in Nundi. It's not every day you get to play for, silverware during the season. So, it's a great opportunity for our guys to go out there and have a good crack at it. And as we all know, Eden Park is a tough place to go. But the boys, prepared really well. And, I guess you've just got to go out there and start well, to be fair, and play at the full 80.
Is this something that the Drua boys will step up for, when there is silverware like this and an honourable piece of silverware? Is it something that they'll step up for?
Yeah, just judging and the way that they've gone about their week this week. Obviously, they left last night and got in early this morning in New Zealand, so they're there now. And the boys, you can see the change in sort of attitude and the way they've gone about, obviously, having a disappointing loss to the Reds. And I think it probably, from last week, being held scoreless, I think, is the first time in history for the club. So, as a Fijian team does not ever find the try line, in a game. So there's a lot of, learnings they've taken out of that last week into this week. So you can see they're a bit more revived, a bit more energised. And it's good to see, especially coming off the back of a loss.
After watching the preparations this week, fixing up some of the wrongs from last weekend, what can we expect when the Drua boys do take on the Blues?
Well, I think more direct. I think last week in defence, you just sort of, there was probably the balls just getting, thrown wide to wide. There wasn't really anyone probably penetrating or just taking us forward. I think we probably heavily relied too much on the forwards. I think the backs probably were the first to put their hands up. But this week, as you can see, the team's changed a little bit. I'm excited to see how Yosefa Namode goes. He's playing at 12. Spent some time in Canberra playing club rugby there, obviously with Fiji Warriors and whatnot. So mate, he's a guy that can break tackles. So, you know, I think just shows your intent to bring a guy, a young kid like that. Hopefully, you know, and I hope he goes out there and plays his normal game. So, you know, I think the biggest difference is just getting that front football, because when we get front football, you know, we're a pretty hard team to stop.
Yeah, Nems, when I watched the game last week and just sort of was a bit frustrating the fact that I thought you kicked too much possession away. Like, you get a 50-22 and, you know, you capitalise on that. Really good stuff, but turn the ball over within three phases, and then I think it was Rambitu just kicks it off the scrum, yep. Goes dead, and then just there was a lot of box kicking happening. You know, is that something that's, I don't know, are they addressing? Like, do they feel like they need to have ball in hand? Because at the moment, this doesn't feel like any teams are nervous because they're just going, oh, they're going to kick it back to some sort of play like everyone else.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there was a lot of kicking. I think, look, there's not a bad time. You know, it's not a bad thing kicking. I think you've just got to get that balance right. And I thought they probably just missed a little bit of that when there was time there down the dress session. It was probably should have kicked it, but then ran it. There was times where he probably should have run it and then kicked it. So, look, I think there's just got to be a fine balance there, you know, because I know a lot of teams are going to lose, probably will kick a lot against us. And, again, to go back to you about the kicking last week, we played against a team that kicks a lot, which is the Reds. So we probably fell into that trap a little bit trying to play their game. But, you know, that's the learnings of rugby. You take it and, you know, you cop, take it on the chin and move forward.
The Auckland Blues haven't lost to the Drua. And, you know, we've watched the Blues play in Fiji and they seem like the ones that know how to get the job done and shut the Drua down through like a, I wouldn't say a boring style of play, but they understand where they need to be on the field to make sure the Drua don't show any of their threats. How do you combat this one?
Yeah, look, we know that they've got big boys. You know, the Blues traditionally play that European style of rugby, obviously coached under Verne, and he's done a lot of that game blueprint in Clermont and in Montpellier when I was there. They utilise their big boys well. They utilise them really well. They obviously know they dominate set piece. You know, I think, you know, they've just got to find a way to utilise how do they exploit those the big guys. Do we run it a lot more? Do we get it away? So, you know, the boys are prepared really well for that. Obviously, we know it's going to be a physicality. That's where the Blues win their games, a lot of physicality. So, you know, the boys have their hands cut out, their work cut out. Look, we're not really the biggest team. We're not one of their biggest teams, but I think against the Blues, it's embracing that the physicality is going to be there, but also trying to nullify, you know, a little bit of weaknesses. Well, not say weakness, but a little bit of areas where we can probably you know, we can probably come alive at, and that's, you know, around the, just in general play, holding the ball, as you know, when we're big and we've got to tackle, no one likes to tackle, and if you're already 150 kilos, it's always going to be harder. So I was referring to myself there, lads.
I think you've sold, Sammy, I reckon you go the Drua for your Smokey this week.
No, I'm going to stay away because, Smokey. I might have a look at the other games. I'm just, if I stay away from those games, the Drua have a great game. So that's my thing, because I chose him last week off the back of you selling it to me in Fiji. And I just said, yep, we're on here. That's my lock. And
Is it wrong to think that when I was commentating and everything was happening in all the midst of everything, I was thinking about the tip about
our is that wrong? It is. Is that wrong? Well, not really, because you gotta have someone to blame, and I'm happy if you blame me for putting the hoodoo on him. But anyway, all good.
Hey, before we let you go though, it was announced this week, Tana Umanga, Moana, the Moana coach, head coach, has been announced as the All Blacks assistant coach. Now, what are your thoughts on Tana?
I think it's great. I think great, you know, he's someone that's been a servant of the game in New Zealand. You know, he's been there, he's done that, he's captained the All Blacks, he brings that mana, you know, and it's good to see, you know, I dare say it's good to see one of, you know, one of our Polynesian or South Pacific Islanders in there. And he's a man of, and I've seen him a few times, every time I've been in the same room as him, his presence demands respect. And I think he's a right man for the job, and, you know, everyone's, as we all know, we're all backing him, and but I just think he's going to, with that coaching stuff in general, I think they're going to bring a lot of mana, culture, but also guys are going to be wanting to play for him.
Yeah. Last one here. One of the other big appointments for the Fijian under 20s team, the new forwards coach.
Congratulations to we actually debuted together, me and Campo.
2010?
Yeah, 2010 when I was at 90 kilos. I'm just really proud of him. Like, it was funny when the thing came up, I was messaging him and I was like, Bruss, boy, there's so many roles coming up, I said, just apply. He's like,
apply for one of them.
Yeah, I was just like, just apply, man. He goes, but what about this? Like, who cares? We can sort it out. And then anyway, he got the thing, I messaged him straight away. And I just said, man, you know what he said to me, and this is definitely what we're both doing, is I said to him, he goes, I just want to give back to Fiji Rugby. So that was enough for me to be like, yep, you're the man for the job. So really proud of him, and I'm sure Vi and all his family will be proud of him in Sydney.
All right, Nems, unbelievable work there. Like, you're not only coaching, you're also part of the coaching selection panel. Yeah,
the recruitment
guy as well. He's got so many hats, this
and
bloke.
He's about to go play some golf.
All good, brother Nems. We know you've got a busy day. Much love, and more there. We'll catch in with you next week.
Cheers, boys. See ya.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Knockout tipping time, but it is a lock and smoke.
Yes.
We'll get there eventually.
Well, this is our time to our bit of competition.
Time to shine.
Where we pick one lock in, our guaranteed team to win this weekend, and then a smoky, someone who is maybe the least favourite to win that game. We keep a score, and at the end of the year, the winner receives a free dinner from the loser. And the scores are
3-3.
3-3.
It's a tight one.
I didn't get one last week.
I thought the Sharkies. I thought that was a Who did they play again? I thought Dolphins. It was a lock.
The Dolphins
at Shark Park.
Was
That's
that your
right.
Smoky?
No. I went the Broncos.
That's right. But anyway, let's get to it. My lock in will be the Canterbury Bulldogs
over the Knights,
just because of the Knights, the amount of injuries. You know, no Kalen Ponga, no Dylan Brown.
That's very fair. That one, I think,
Dogs at home as well.
Yep, I think that's a good one. I'm actually going to go my lock in rugby league as well. I'm going to go the Raiders over the Sharks.
Yeah, beautiful. Lock that one in.
Why are you going so quick? You just there's something that you know that I don't.
Yep.
What happened?
Nothing.
What do you mean nothing?
We'll see.
What do you mean we'll see? Give me some intel. What do you know that I don't?
Come on, man. The Sharks ain't losing three in a row.
Bro, they are, because it's in Canberra. Well, the Raiders aren't going to go winless in the first five games.
Yes, they will.
Nah.
Yes, they will.
Nah.
Well, I'm happy smoking. That you went. I would have went Raiders, you're smoky, but anyway.
It's in Canberra.
Yeah, but it's still March. You don't want to be playing Canberra in like June.
Yeah, fair
when
enough.
It's freezing.
Enough. Nah, I'm going to go the Raiders. I like Ricky. I think.
Nah, you know why I said, yeah, good choice?
What?
I was watching Cronulla Sharks train yesterday and they were on.
Oh, man, I'm not taking anything out
they
of training
were on,
footage.
Mate.
Training footage.
They were on. Hey, Craig Fitzgibbon also re signed to the club.
Yeah, okay.
Extended. Good Ooh. News there. And the Sharks also beat the Raiders. In the finals
Canberra.
Last year in Canberra.
That's right. So, can I change?
No. Nah.
Okay, it's locked in.
All right,
lock it in.
Smokies.
That's locked.
I'm going to go the Dolphins to make it 2 from 7 against the Brisbane Broncos.
I like it. Isaiah Katoa this time. How big was that pass last week? 25 metres?
25 metres.
I reckon he's got a 30-metre pass in him this week.
No pain, Huss.
My Smokey, I've got a good feeling off the back of Tanner's announcements that Moana are going to win at home
against
the Highlanders. That's what
Beautiful.
I'm going for. That's what I'm going for. And I forgot to mention as well, there's a guy making his debut for Moana Pacifica, potentially off the bench, Bola Latu. He is a prop. He's born in Tonga, can speak Spanish because he did his mission in somewhere where you need to speak Spanish.
In Spain.
Or another country that speaks Spanish. But anyway, I think he's bringing the energy and he is going to have a great game and Moana are going to be banging the bin. So that's my smoky for this week.
Beautiful, Sammy. Well, that's us done for Nijin Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch up on Monday.
We'll see you all on Monday. Ka kite.